the gentleman I was talking about says that when he was living in London, he lived in Bethnal Green during the 2011 riots, which started after London police officers killed a black man named Mark Duggan. As teenage vandals looted and set his neighborhood ablaze, he remembered casually walking down the street during the chaos and having a London police officer politely ask him to return to his flat. There was no tense exchange, he was not arrested, and he never feared for his life. During the week of the riots, Londoners openly discussed how black people might receive different treatment from law enforcement. The conversations focused on analyzing policing techniques, discussing ways to keep teenagers off the streets during the summer when they don't have school, and catching looters via closed-circuit TV. How would that conversation, what would the discussion have been in America had that type of situation occurred? Black person killed, black community angered, and looting, burning, rioting started. How would that have been discussed? What would have been the nature of the discourse following an event like that in America? Barrett says the supposedly inherent danger or criminality of black bodies would have been used to justify the police's killing of Duggan and present the riots as an inevitable byproduct of a quote-unquote culture of crime. Culture of crime. Using a phrase that is intended to disparage the black community while inflaming other communities. The killing of Michael Brown, the riots in Ferguson, followed an all too familiar American script. Racism towards black people in America has largely nothing to do with immigration or nationality. There's no home country for African Americans to connect to. Instead, it's essentially a status quo of domestic alienation, dehumanization, criminalization, and terror. European racism is bad, but not as bad as in America, he says. Let's listen to this one.
It's bizarre to have to ask the question, does America have a race problem? All the evidence says yes. But not everyone in the US agrees. Surveys consistently show that while most black people believe race is an issue, most white people don't. A divergence of opinion that existed even at the height of the civil rights movement in the 1960s. Most white people didn't understand what Martin Luther King was trying to do. So, I'm going on a journey into the mind of white America. It could be a bumpy ride, according to Talk Radio.
The value in black life given the illegitimacy rate, out of wedlock rate, is far higher than that of the rest of the society. The reason that people have children before they marry is values, not poverty.
Blacks are stupid. That is correct. They are blinded by anger at whites.
You don't need to say white lives matter, because white people don't walk up to white people, put a gun to their head, and blow them away.
I didn't want to talk to any African Americans for this film. Discrimination is obviously a black issue, but when you think about it, it's mainly a white problem. So I set my own color bar.
Bam, 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 bam. And you know it's coming from those areas. And then the next day, the news will come on, and sure enough, there was a shooting of some young black man.
I'm part of the problem. Because I don't know how to solve the problem, and so what do? I ignore it.
After a while, the race card has been played so much that it has lost its value.
If you think racism doesn't exist, you're white.
Those were all comments made by white people. Remember, he said that for his journey, his exploration of this expose that he's doing, he wanted to talk with white people. And that's why BBC is calling it Inside the Minds of White America. This was a black man from the UK traveling the US to gain insights regarding racism in America.
Expensive real estate in America, all groomed lawns and tended yards. But just a few minutes' drive away are pockets of despair. This is Black Milwaukee, home to 70% of African Americans living in the state of Wisconsin. It's poor, run down, undesirable. Professor Mark Levine from the University of Wisconsin gave me a tour and explained how over several decades, mortgage lenders and estate agents steered different races to different parts of the city.
You know, they could sort of deny outright racism by simply saying, well, this is just a hard-boiled economic analysis. We know that African Americans are a greater credit risk and they're not going to, you know, pay back these loans, and so we're not going to make those loans. A study was done about a decade ago by the city to look at exactly that issue, and they found that a white household with income around $25,000 a year had about the same rejection rate for housing loans as a black family with income over $125,000 a year.
And the result of racism in mortgage lending is segregation.
Did you get that? A white family with an income of $25,000. A black family with an income of $125,000. And the black family with an income of $125,000 was just as likely to be rejected for a home loan as a white family with an income of only $25,000. $100,000 less. Everyone, let's continue this discussion next Monday. Race from several views. And when we get back together next week, I want you to hear a very inspiring discussion that a white judge is having with a black family. Very inspiring, very encouraging. In the meantime, I still want you to think about what you can do to let some of life's best moments come through you consistently.